words can't express how excited we are to bring you this incredible interview with writer Robert Venditti. You know him from Justice League 40, Flash, Green Lantern, and much, much, much more stuff that he has written. So without further ado, we hope that you enjoy our chat with DC Comics' Robert Venditti.
Interview with Robert Venditti.
And we're now joined by DC Comics' Robert Venditti, one of the writers now on Justice League. Hello, Robert.
Hello, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
We're doing great, and congrats on the release of your book last week. We reviewed it and said it's a great jumping on point for new readers.
And that's the only reason why I'm talking to you guys. Let's be serious. If it was a bad review, I wouldn't even be here. No, I appreciate that. Thank you. What can I say? It's always, even after all, 270 something issues of comic books, literally every time somebody reads one and says something to me about it, I'm shocked. So it never gets old, you know? So I appreciate it. I'm sure you all read more than your fair share of comics.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And I have to wonder, like, you're following up Scott Snyder. That's like following the Beatles. He's one of the greats, right? Or like maybe he's more of a Nirvana or Rage Against the Machine. That's got to be intimidating as hell to go in and pick up the pieces that he left behind.
I mean, guys, you're talking to the writer who followed Geoff Johns on Green Lantern here. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's not a suicide run, I don't do it. Yes, of course. You know, Scott's one of the biggest names in the industry. Obviously, very talented. A good guy on top of it. And his run was so large and so grand and so sweeping in terms of all the elements of the DCU that he was able to bring into it, you know, Earthbound and cosmic and, you know, multidimensional and, you know, multiversal and all these kinds of things. And so, it is a very groundbreaking run, but I really don't think about things in those terms. You know, I just come in and tell the stories that I would want to tell and that I would want to read and, let the stories fall where they may, I guess. So, it's fine. It's been a while. You know, I was trying to think about the other day. I don't think that I've actually picked up a run from someone else since New 52 Flash. So that would have been like, 2014 maybe.
Wow.
Everything I've done since then has been a number one, and I've written all the way to the end. And actually every single series that I've ever written, I was thinking about this the other day, every single series I've ever written, whether it was Green Lantern, Flash, X-Men of War, my stuff at Valiant, you know, all the way up through Freedom Fighters, which just ended in January, I wrote all the way to the end. I've never handed a series off to anybody else either. So it's kind of interesting. And it was when I sat down to work on those first issues, it was a little bit of, you know, trying to get my bearings and starting on a project in a way that's very different from how I normally do, which is a number one. But it's Justice League. So if there's something that you want to come in the middle of, that's the book. You know what I mean? So very happy to do it.
Well, you're coming into the middle of it, but it's also how old? 50, 60 years? I don't know how long the Justice League's been going. You obviously can't read everything that's out there or keep track of every character. There's just too many stories out there. How do you even kind of pitch a story? Does DC come to you with like kind of a path? Like, this is where we're leading to? Can you create a story that bridges the gap? Or do you?
Well, they said that, when DC asked me if I wanted to come write some Justice League stories, you know, they said they wanted to do stories that had a smaller cast and were more, 2, 3, 4 issues in length and lots of clean entry points and, sort of more scaled down in terms of the number of moving pieces to them. You know, Scott's run was very much, I mean, he wrote 39 issues, but he also did an annual, and then you have No Justice before that. So I don't know. I'm going to call it 45, 50 issues of, you know, a bunch of smaller arcs embedded within a much larger story. You know, that's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to do individual stories stand alone. Anybody can pick them up and read them. And you're right. I'm not going to be able to research the entire history of the Justice League or of all these characters, but I've also written these characters before to some extent. You know, I've written John Stewart pretty lengthily and Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps. I wrote Barry Allen for a while. I'm working on Superman and the Superman Giant series, so I'd already done my research there. And so, you know, Batman and Wonder Woman, and, you know, we've got Madame Xanadu who comes in the first issue, and, you know, we'll sort of have new characters come in depending on the story and things like that. You know, I'm not always overly familiar with those characters, but I think I know enough about them and certainly about what their status quo is right now because I've been reading, you know, everything that those characters have been doing for the past, I don't know, 7 years, whatever, all the way back to the beginning of the New 52. So I do have some familiarity with them, and I know where they're at right now, and that's enough for me to be able to get, you know, the character dynamics out of them that I need in order to tell the kind of stories that I want to tell. Because you're never going to read... I'd literally have to go read every single DC comic book ever, pretty much, right? I mean, every Flash, every Green Lantern, every Batman, every Superman, every Wonder Woman, and every Justice League. It's not feasible, you know? So
putting in someone like Xanadu or even the Eradicator, what kind of approval process is there? Do you just say these are the guys I want and the gals I want, or is it are they kind of handing you those pieces like these characters are available?
No, it was me coming up with an idea and asking them what characters would be usable and if I could have Eradicator and Madame Xanadu and Sodom Yacht and those things. And really my kind of idea is to come up with threats to justify the need for this team of this, you know, number of heavy hitters to get involved, you know, as opposed to something that Superman could defeat by himself or what have you. And so, you know, I'd like to take each arc and focus on the mythologies of a couple of the core characters and combine them into something larger than what it was previously, you know? So in this first storyline, you've got the Eradicator, which is an element from from Superman mythology. And then I'm combining that with Sodom Yacht and the Daxamites, which is an element of mythology that's sort of more associated recently with Green Lantern mythos and, you know, some of the things Pete Tomasi did during his run on Green Lantern Corps and, you know, Sodom Yacht, you know, Geoff Johns era and all those kinds of things, and combine those two elements into something that's larger than anything that Green Lantern or Superman could defeat by themselves. And so now they need the entire Justice League. And the next story, we'll do it again, where we have elements of Wonder Woman's mythology that will connect with elements of, you know, the Spectre and Aquaman and combine it into something that's larger than any of these characters could deal with on their own. And now it requires the entire Justice League. And by doing that, it allows you, you know, not only to come up with these big threats that are, you know, somewhat familiar but spun in new ways, but also it allows you to focus on, you know, one or two characters as the quote unquote leads of each separate story, and you can kind of rotate through and have different, you know, leads as you go throughout the stories.
And we don't want to spoil the issue for people, obviously. This is Justice League 40. You end it on a pretty crazy note with a huge threat kind of poised there. How many issues are we looking at for this series? It seems like this is going to be kind of a big epic brawl that's coming.
This first story will be four issues. You know, we're going to have a four issue story, and then we'll start the next one, which will be, I think this has already been solicited, so I can probably talk about this, but the next storyline is going to feature the Spectre and elements from Wonder Woman's past. And again, we also have some elements from Aquaman that we bring into the series. And so he'll be joining the team, and that'll be a different story. So like I say, we're trying to keep them shorter stories, and with a double ship book, you know, they come out twice a month. So really every, you know, this first story 2 months later, you'll have another story again. So it's kind of a new entry point where you can come in. And through all of that, we're also trying to reflect events that are happening elsewhere in the DCU, you know, whether it be Clark Kent, you know, the reveal of his identity, or Alfred having recently, you know, been killed in the Batman series, and Batman now dealing with a world where he doesn't have sort of that one, you know, rock solid counsel that he could always turn to. And, you know, we have a moment in this issue where he's on his way to London and he's in the Batplane, and, you know, he remembers how he used to talk to Alfred on missions and how Alfred was always there, but Alfred's not there anymore. So instead of Alfred, you know, piloting the Batplane back to the cave, Batman just puts it on autopilot because Alfred's gone now, you know? So try to tap into some of the emotions of some of the things that are happening. Likewise with Superman, he's just given away his identity, and, you know, he is an alien from Krypton, but he's also a kid who grew up in Kansas, and, you know, maybe he wants people to think of him more as the kid from Kansas, you know, and I'm Clark Kent, you know, I don't have to just be Superman, but now here comes the Eradicator and the Daxamites and all these things that are alien and tied to Superman's past to just remind everybody how much of an alien this guy is, you know? And so you kind of get some of the emotions of those beats reflecting what's happening in the main series, sort of unifying the way all these elements are working together across the DCU.
And there's rumblings about a Generation 5 coming to DC. You know, you brought up New 52, which was kind of considered 4. Is that something you've been discussing with DC? Or is this still super top secret stuff?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go near that one. yeah, I think we'll just leave that to the rumor mill, I guess. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
It's about time. I'll say that much. It'd be nice to... I love jumping on points. That's the whole focus of our show. And there's a lot of big, heavy things happening in DC right now that seem like they're kind of building to something. So be interesting, you know, to see what happens.
Yeah, you know, for me, like, speaking about jumping on points, I don't know how much you know about my background, but I didn't start reading comic books until I was in my mid to late 20s. And so, you know, here I am in the early 2000s walking into a comic book shop and trying to find something to read. And it's all these high numbers, and, you know, you have no idea what's going on or what these mythologies are, and it's very daunting, you know. So for me, everything that I've always done, from X-Men of War all the way up to Hawkman right now, is I've always tried to write every issue. You could pick it up, and you can understand everything you need to know about this character and what's happening within the story and go forward. But if you read the previous issue, there's still a lot of stuff that's going to be new and surprise you and feel like the story is moving forward. So I'm a big believer in entry points and making every single issue almost an entry point, and definitely making every story arc an entry point. Sometimes that's very easy. Sometimes it's very hard. You know, Hawkman was difficult because he has this massively confusing mythology that was a barrier to entry for pretty much everyone. And so it wasn't even just about having an entry point. It was having an entry point that would make sense and unify all this mythology into something that people could easily digest. And so now Hawkman has gone from having to explain him through, you know, various deaths and rebirths and, you know, Thanagarian and human, and, you know, they're two separate guys, but they became a hawk god or whatever. You know, you're trying to explain all these things. Now it's just become he's a character who reincarnates across time and space. It's very easy to understand. I mean, like, we all know what that means, right?
So, sure.
So now you just pick up the series and you move from there. So, you know, that's kind of a big focus of what I try to do. And cool. Certainly trying to do it with Justice League as well.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I can totally relate to you, you know, jumping into comics kind of late 20s. I've never had a huge background or interest in comics when I was younger, but it's definitely clicking nowadays for me. And going through Justice League 40, you know, I noticed each hero was given like an equal amount of spotlight. How did you go about planning the story for that? And how did you go about writing it in a way to where each of these characters are introduced and shown off within, what, a 25 to 30 page book?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think it's maybe just kind of how my mind works, you know. I tend to be a very organized thinker, you know, which can be a detriment sometimes, right? Because, you know, I don't have that stream of consciousness style of writing that could feel very spontaneous and organic and works really well when you read it on the page. You kind of get swept up in it, you know. I'm very much, you know, sit down and plot everything out and write it down longhand and, you know, figure out all the moving pieces and things. And so I've done team books in the past. Most recently, you know, I did Freedom Fighters, but Hal Jordan and Green Lantern Corps, which I did for 51 issues, had basically four lead characters plus, you know, I don't know, 10,000 Green Lantern supporting characters. You know? So 7,000, I guess. But, you know, so it's just kind of the nature of the job. And you go into it knowing that you want to make sure that everybody, you can't always give everybody all the real estate that you want them to have because it's only a 20-page comic. But when somebody is on the page, you want to make sure you give them a beat or two that's memorable and that kind of explains everything you need to know about them, you know, very quickly. And you know, like I say, each story will have different, you know, quote unquote leads in the sense that their mythologies will be more driving what the thread is. And so they'll necessarily be pushed more to the forefront. But you want to make sure that everybody else is getting some time too and doesn't just sort of end up being supporting characters and pushed to the background.
You definitely executed that very well. Like,
thank you. I appreciate
it. Was just
that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So what would be your kind of dream gig over there at DC? Is there one hero you'd love to take on a solo book, or Do you like doing this kind of team stuff right now?
Yes, there is, you know, there are definitely heroes that are on my sort of wish list that I would like to do and do solo series for. Chief among them would be Superman. You know, as someone who didn't grow up reading comics, the Superman films, specifically Superman 2, was very much a touchstone of my youth, you know? And so, I don't know, I'm much more of a Superman guy than the Batman guy. Like, I think I see the world as Superman would, more so than as Batman would. So Superman is at the top of that list. And right now, I'm actually working on the Superman Giant series for DC, which
are cool.
Books that kind of go into Walmart, but they also go into the comic shops. And, you know, talking about new entry points, each story is 24 pages, completely self-contained, beginning, middle, end, and then the next issue you get another one. So every single story, you know, I really tried to think about the series as an animated cartoon, and every month you come pick it up and you get a new cartoon, and you put it down, and the next month you get another one, you know. And so it's been a great lot of fun to be able to work on that character and to do that series, which is also kind of over in its own continuity, and you can kind of do all kinds of fun stuff. And, you know, the first issue he fights Parasite, and in issue 3, he fights the original Toy Man, and, you know, with all the, you know, the deadly toys and a giant, you know, tin toy walking robot stomping on Metropolis and all this stuff. And it's just great stuff, you know, that you have fun doing. And if you're somebody who's my age and you know who Superman is from when you were a kid, then you see all the elements there that made you like the character to begin with, you know, the supporting cast and, you know, Clark Kent versus Superman, and he's a reporter, but he's a hero. But if you've never read a comic book in your life and you don't know anything about Superman, you can pick it up and understand everything that you need to know. So that's been a lot of fun. But I also like when DC just calls me up and says, hey, what do you think about Hawkman? And I'm like, dude, I have never, couldn't tell you the first thing about him. He's got wings, but I'll go do some research and let you know what I think, you know, and then you end up doing that and you end up coming up with ideas to do that. So that's always fun too. I always say that you can't fake stupid, you know?
So right.
Like when they call me up and they ask me about a character and I've never heard of that character, sometimes that could be a detriment, but sometimes it means that my perspective will be different because I haven't been reading Hawkman ever since I was a kid.
Right,
I don't already have Carter Hall and Katar Hole completely divorced as two separate things in my brain. So that when I sit down and read it, I say, oh, I get it. He reincarnates across time and space. They're both the same guy. And then when it turns out not being that, you go, well, I guess that's the story I'm going to do then, because that makes perfect sense, you know? So, you know, it kind of, you couldn't unlearn it if I'd already had all this continuity up in my head, you know? So it's
right. I guess it kind of works. It works both ways, right? Like either you can have a super fan write something and really get into the weeds of it, and you'd go through the history, or you could bring in a fresh perspective and give it a new life that way.
Sure.
And that's something you see every week in comics, right? Depending on who the writer is, what the book is. And I kind of like that there's a lot of turnover with people moving on to different books. I know some people want like the Ultimate Spider-Man run with Bendis on it for 125 issues, but
sure,
at the same time, it's nice to see writers bounce around to these different stories.
Yeah. You know, I start a project. I hope it goes 12. I really hope it goes 24. Like that's really the goal, right? 24 issues, 2 years. And then after that, everything is gravy. You know what I mean? So I've had a couple of 50 issue runs.
Oh, wow.
X-Men of War was 50.
Oh, Green Lantern. Yeah. Green Lantern, right?
Yeah. And then Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps, 51. But then if you add in Green Lantern, it ended up being like 85, I think. So, You know, I've had some long runs, but then I've also done 5-issue miniseries, you know, 12-issue maxi-series. You know, I didn't know if Hawkman would make it past 12, and I just turned in the script for 24. So, wow. You know, you never know what's going to happen with any of this stuff. But, yeah.
So when you started, was your first book The Surrogates?
It was, yes.
Yeah. So you must have been like, this shit is easy. Like,
it all gets downhill from there, baby. You know what I mean?
It gets picked up and turned into a feature film with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
That's your first story.
Nowhere to go but down. You know what I mean? I never did think that. I still don't think that. And I was just shocked by anybody, by all the stuff that ended up happening with Surrogates. I thought I had a decent story. And the most that I hoped I would get out of it was that it would be a resume piece I could show to other editors and say, this is who I am as a writer. This is how I develop character. This is what I do with themes and you know, subplots and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And and use it to get other jobs. I never anticipated it would end up being made into a film or any of those kinds of things. And even in the wake of that, I don't try to repeat that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to write Hollywood pitch packages or anything. I just sit down and I write the stories that I write. And if somebody else wants to take it and turn it into something else, you know, they're more than welcome to do it. The first storyline that we did in Flash, where Future Flash comes back to try to erase Barry Allen from the timeline, they end up taking big elements of that and using it in season three of the Flash television show. You know, that's all great, but that's not why I'm doing any of it. I'm just trying to write stories and have people enjoy them. And if the other stuff comes along, that's great.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. And best of luck with the rest of the books and to your continued success with what you've been doing. You've been killing it at DC so far. We've really enjoyed what you've done and can't wait to read what's next.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
If you fantastic, amazing listeners want to keep up with us throughout the week and see what we're up to, you can follow us on Twitter at The Comic Book Pod and on Instagram and Facebook as well as at The Spectacular Comic Book Podcast. If you've got any questions, if you have any suggestions or anything, feel free to email us at thecomicbookpod@gmail.com. And the special thing with Anchor is you can send us voice messages. So if you have a question for us and you want to hear yourself on the podcast, feel free to head over to our Anchor channel and hit that send voice message button and let's hear from you. Other than that, we appreciate you listening and we hope you all have a fantastic day.
See you next time.